do.
That's right. He still saves sinners. Yes, he still saves sinners. Glad for that. I am glad. I can't get over that first song we sung, that line in that song. I love it. To look on him and pardon me. And I don't know about y'all, I just can't comprehend that. To look on him and pardon me is probably the greatest thought, the greatest truth that we've ever know. To look on him and pardon me. Just think about that. All right, everybody all right this morning? Good singing, good songs. Glad you're here. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Very familiar scripture this morning. But we will look at some things. We will look at this, if we can, this little passage of scripture, as much of it as we can get out of it here. And this will be the morning that you examine yourself. This will be the morning that you examine yourself to see whether or not you be in a faith, and also be to see where you stand with the Lord at this moment. It really don't matter how you've been, and what matters is how you are. All right, the thing about that, it don't really matter how you've been. It matters how you are right now, and it really don't matter how you're going to be. We're living in the present. We have a very present Savior. All right. We have an omnipresent God. He's everywhere present. So if he's everywhere present, then he's not dealing in the future. He's not dealing in the past. He's dealing with what's right now. How are you right now? How are you? Now, I'm not talking about is your head hurting or your back hurting. Because as you get older, that's going to increase. All right? You'll wake up and hurt places you didn't even know you had. All right? You'll be sick. You'll sneeze and blow a disc. You know? You'll belch and feel like if your spleen went through your ears. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things that happens to you. But that's not what we're asking. We're asking, how are you this morning with the Lord? Let's look at some things, can we? Let's pray together. Father, I ask you this morning to search my heart. I come to you and knowing that I'm in great need. And I ask you to search me out and point everything out to me that's wrong, that I may stick in a corner somewhere. That you might cleanse me, and I'm sorry, I am sorry for my sins this morning. I'm sorry for my shortcomings. I'm sorry where I've hurt you or wronged you, and where I've thought wrong, did wrong, left something undone, stopped foolishly, lived without faith, had some kind of malice or bitterness or envy or strife or idolatry or adultery or lies or deceit or anything that's come through. Lord, I'm sorry this morning. I need to be clean as I can be just now that I might be able to preach your word. Help me to handle this word carefully. Help me to handle your word with reverence and knowing that it's not my word but your word. And Lord, I pray this morning that it might speak to our heart. Lord, you lay everything out simply. Lord, if we'll read it and we'll take it, Lord, it'll change our life. And I pray this morning that we may do that very thing. Lord, I'm asking for power of the Holy Spirit to preach it. And then, Lord, I'm asking for power of the Holy Spirit that people might hear it and receive it. And, Lord, I'm asking for power of the Holy Spirit this morning that we may all act upon it as you direct. And, Lord, this all will be for your glory. And I thank you and praise you for all that you are, all that you do. In Jesus' name I ask all this. And amen. Matthew chapter 27. Let's start at verse 15 and we'll read a little bit. And then we'll go back. It says, now at the feast, the governor was started 15. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. That's speaking of Christ. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Now, there's a lot in them 10 verses there. And as we read that, we want to look at some things, maybe look at as much of it as we can. And you're going to have to, and I'm going to have to myself, examine myself and see some things today. You know, when I look here, there's several characters here we're going to look at this morning. I see Barabbas. We'll look at him in just a moment. I see Pilate. We'll look at him for just a minute. I see Pilate's wife, and we're going to look at her for a moment. And then I see the crowd, the mob, the multitude of people. There's a bunch of people there. And that's going to pretty well sum all of us up in some way or another, because there's a multitude here this morning. And when we think of these things, all of them are standing or making a statement themselves about Jesus Christ. The crowd is making a statement. Pilate's wife is making a statement. Pilate is making a statement. And Barabbas is a statement in himself, though we have no record of him saying anything. But he's making a statement himself. Now, I want to look at some things. You know, we said this Wednesday, and even last Sunday, we say again, we had a tragedy in our country when Charlie Kirk was murdered here just Wednesday a week ago. It was a tragedy. I believe that was a great tragedy to mankind all over. And everybody's talking about it, and rightly so, all right? I believe he was a great guy. I believe he was a saved man. And I believe he told millions about the Lord Jesus. That's what I believe. If you don't believe that, then you're just wrong. I believe he had a great testimony. I mean, he was a great guy. Now, was he perfect? No, he was a man, young man, had a wife, 2 children. But I believe he spoke truth. I believe that. And we know where he stood. You know how we know where he stood? Because he told us. He told us where he stood. I didn't have to go look on Wikipedia to see. And I didn't have to go back and try to figure out and put all the videos and all the podcast together to see. Anytime he spoke, he stood for something, made sure. And then I thought about us. I thought about, do we state where we truly stand on a daily basis? Well, I'm afraid we do. I'm afraid we state every day ourselves where we truly stand. I believe whether it be in our speech, whether it be in our action, our activity, that we truly state every day where we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the title this morning is, Where is Jesus in My Life? I want you to say that with me. I want you to ask yourself this question, and I want you to say it with me, will you? Where is Jesus in my life? Now say it with me. Now I want to hear everybody say it. Now it ain't going to hurt you. Say it with me now. Where is Jesus in my life? Where is Jesus in my life? Now, that's a very important question, is it not? I believe it's a great question. Now, that question is kind of given here, even with Pilate, there in verse 22. We'll start there in the very middle. It says, Pilate said to them, "What shall I do? What shall I do?" He said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do?" That is a great question. Them questions have been asked for years and years. What shall I do with Jesus? But there's two other questions that goes with it. It's what shall I do with Jesus? What have I done with Jesus? And what am I doing with Jesus right now? Very simple when we look at this. Very simple. Is everybody with me this morning? And it all has to do with where Jesus is in my life right now. See, now I can say that I'm saved, okay? I'm saved. All right, then what am I doing with Jesus? All right, I'm saved. That's what I've done with Him. That's in the past. I've already trusted Christ as my Savior. Then what am I doing with Him now? What am I doing with Him today? What am I going to do with Him? These are questions we need to think about. What shall I do? What have I done? And what am I doing? All these things reflect on where Jesus is in my life. When I look at you, if I follow you throughout the day, if I get with you in the morning and I don't talk to you, I just follow you. Maybe you don't even have to know I'm there, but I'm going to be right there and I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to watch where you go and I'm going to listen to what your conversation is. I'm going to watch your actions and your demeanor. I'm going to see how you interact with people and what you do. I'm going to see where you go on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And when I do that and listen to you and watch you, then I am going to know exactly where you are with Jesus Christ. Did you know that?
Yes.
I'm going to know. But see, I can't be with you every day. I can't be with you every moment of every day. So I'm asking you, all right, I'm asking you where you are now. Where is Jesus in your life right now? Now, some people say, well, it don't matter. Well, it does matter. It does matter. And somebody, we say, somebody's watching. No, somebody ain't watching. Everybody's watching.
Yes.
If you got a family, your spouse is watching. Your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. Your grandchildren don't even have to be very old to watch. A grandbaby that is just old enough to mock you a little bit. How old do they have to be? 2 years old? When they start mocking you, when they look at you and you're eating, and they look at you and they eat, when you do this, they do that, you can make them robots. Can you not? Talk to me. When a little baby, you can get them to do. I mean, I can get my dog to do that. Yeah, I've said so much. You understand? So we know we can do children like that. You know why? Because they're watching.
Oh, yeah.
They're watching. And the older they get, the more they watch. Your neighbors watch. Your coworkers watch. All right? Young people, your parents watch. I always think of Dan Knickerbocker, preacher. He had made several professions. His daddy was a preacher, and he had made several professions growing up at teenage years. And one day he came in, I don't remember what Dan said, maybe he was 17, maybe. He came in and told his daddy, Dad was shaving. And his dad was there in the mirror shaving. He walked in and said, Dad, I finally got saved. He said, we'll see. He didn't say, wonderful, great. He didn't say, I'm proud of you. He said, we'll see. That's all he said. We'll see. You know why? Because of all the past that he had said and all the past times that he said he was saved, there was never no difference. So his daddy just simply said, yeah, we'll see. You know why we'll see? Because your life shows where Jesus is in your life. Your actions show where Jesus is in your life. I don't care whether you're 5 years old professing that you're a Christian or you're 95 years old, your life shows exactly where Jesus Christ is in your life right now.
Amen.
It shows what He means to you. It shows how much you love Him. Say what you want. Do what you want, but your life will show exactly where Jesus is in your life.
Yeah, right. That's right.
It ain't going to be nobody else's fault. It's not going to be peer pressure. It's not going to be because of a bad influence. It's not going to be because of somebody done you wrong. You'll show exactly where Jesus Christ is in your life every day that you live.
That's true.
Just simply.
Yes, you're right.
That's just the bottom line. So I ask you today, where is Jesus in my life? Where is Jesus in my life? Well, let's start at the top here, and let's go down through and we'll see some things here. And then we'll discuss salvation for just a moment, and then we'll have a baptizing. Look here at verse 16. It says, And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Barabbas other than he was a murderer and a traitor. Caused trouble. Always causing revolt. That's the scripture that we have about him. History don't have much to say about him. Some history, if it depends on who you read and what you believe, some history believes that Barabbas, after he got released here, wasn't long before he got arrested again and they killed him. And some believe that he might have become a believer because he realized Christ. Well, all that's wonderful and good, but there's no we don't have no record. We don't know. All right, it's just all good assumption. But this I know, that he was a rough guy, and he is a good type of what we are. Without Christ, we are a prisoner of sin, and that's what Barabbas was. He was a sinner. He was a murderer. He was in jail for sedition, a traitor. He was rough as they come. He was no doubt a blasphemer, obnoxious human being that didn't care much for only his own way. That pretty well sums all of us up in some way or another. And he was a guilty prisoner. And can I tell you that you either are or have been a prisoner of sin the same way, and guilty and doomed to die and ready to be executed with no hope in your life. That's what Barabbas stands for. But the good news is, it didn't stay that way, because there, like me and you, that there's a choice to be made, and because of a loving God, a great Savior, Jesus Christ, who died in our place this morning, He died that we might live, and because of Christ, that God looked on Him, and forgive me, that was a great song I didn't even tell you, and it would be used in the message this morning. But I want you to understand that's exactly how it was right there. That they looked on Jesus and pardoned Barabbas. And they looked on Jesus and pardoned you. Because I'm looking this morning in a congregation just like the preacher. That's a lying, deceiving, despicable, heathen. Whether I was a drunkard or not, because I'm guilty of one, I'm guilty of being a drunkard. I've not committed adultery, but I'm still guilty of it because I've lied. I've cheated. I've deceived. I've disobeyed parents. And the Bible says if you break the law in one place, you're guilty of everything. And there's no good. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. For there's not a just man upon this earth which doeth good and sinneth not. So we all come up and be equal with Barabbas this morning. But we all come up equal also that Jesus died for the ungodly. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us this morning. Ain't it wonderful? Man, I don't have to stay. I don't have to stay like I was. That I got Christ. And that's what happened with Barabbas here. So when I see Barabbas, I see that there was a choice made, and he was released. Now, I don't know what all happened afterwards, but I do know this, that he was guilty, and he was sentenced to die, and he was released, and he went free. I don't understand everything this morning. All I know that I was guilty. I was doomed to die. I was to be executed. But because of Jesus Christ, I've been set free. I don't understand it all, but it's truth. And it's the same truth right here this morning. Huh? So where is Jesus in my life? Well, I can start and say, well, He freed me. But where is He now? See, that's where he was. That's what I have done with Jesus.
Come on.
That's what I have done with him. But what about now? See, sometimes if we're not careful, that's the only testimony we have. It's what happened years ago. Are you listening to me? See, we got the past Savior. We got, I was saved when I was 5. I was saved when I was 10. I was saved when I was 15. Well, you're 70 now. What has he done these other 55 years?
Yeah.
Well, what has he done? What did he do yesterday? Did he do anything for you yesterday? Did he do anything for you this morning? Did he do anything this past week? Have you walked with him or talked with him this week? Have you communed with him? Does he abide in your heart and you had fellowship? Did something happen? If nothing happened this past week, Harry, if nothing happened this past week with you and him, you don't know him. Let me say it again. If nothing happened with you and the Lord Jesus this past week, you don't know him.
Preaching.
I'm going to say it again because you either you don't agree or there's something rubbing you wrong.
Come on now.
If he's not done something for you this past week, you don't know him.
Amen, preacher.
It ain't that you're not right with him, because he reigns on the just and the unjust.
Yes.
His blessings are good day in, day in, day out. We okay? Where is Jesus in your life right now? Where is Jesus in your life today? Where's He at? Well, I remember when I got saved. I do too. But I remember a prayer that he answered last night. I got a call a few minutes after 9 last night. And when I said, "Hello, preacher, Chip Butler got saved a while ago." And I was done in bed, been asleep for an hour. Huh? But I was wide awake when I heard it. You said, "Well, what that mean to you?" I've been praying for him ever since Dave Butler got saved on March the 20th, 1990. I started praying for Chip Butler.
Amen.
I called his name, I don't know how many times. I call his name every night or every day in the prayer room. Huh? Half for years. Man, I was excited. He answered a prayer last night.
Amen.
Last night he answered a prayer. Huh? Are you hearing me? I put out some texts this morning, and I got a text from someone. They couldn't be here this morning, but they explained why, and they couldn't be here. But can I tell you, it was an answer to prayer this morning. That's what he's done for me today.
Amen.
What's he done for you? Where's he at in your life today? That's why we don't praise him, because we're not looking at what he's doing in our life today and what he's done in our life this week. Where is Jesus Christ in your life today?
Amen.
Where is he? If he's not your Savior every day, you ain't got him.
Right. Amen. That's good.
If he's not helping you every day, you don't know him. If he's not blessing you every day, you've missed out, and you are a Christian in word only.
Right. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
We okay?
Yes.
Maybe that's a problem. Maybe we are just a Christian in word only. Because we walk around with our lip hung and walk around, and all we got to say is negative about other people and what they are and what they do, and negative about life. Well, what about the good in your life?
Yes.
Where's he at in your life today? Where is Jesus Christ in your life today? Where is he at? Number one? Number two? Is he on the list? Is he number one in your life? Look at me this morning. Is Jesus Christ number one in your life today? You say you're saved. Is he number one? If he's not, you're not right with God.
Amen.
You're under the testing hand of God, and you better be careful.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because he don't play seconds.
Right.
Now, you do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. Believe what you want to believe. But it don't change the Bible.
Right.
And this little weak God that everybody thinks they serve. This little passive God. Ooh, everybody's okay. Everybody ain't okay, and he don't say they're okay.
Amen.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Huh? What the book says. So where are you? Where is Jesus in my life? That's the question, is it not? Then I look down. Who else can we find here? Well, let's go way down to the bottom. We won't take it in order. Let's go down to the bottom. And look at verse 25. That's what we know. Barabbas, he was a guilty, a prisoner, rightfully so. You know, rightfully so. He was noted. He was not noted. Can I tell you, there's a lot of noted sinners in here.
Uh-huh.
Right? We were noted that we were sinners.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But the Lord made a difference. Ain't you glad for that? Huh? I'm glad that we were noted, but now we're noted a different way. Right? But then it says in verse 25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. You know, that's a hard saying. Think about that. Verse 23 says, and the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Huh? That's the attitude of the mob. You know, we can understand the attitude of the world. See, the world has not changed its belief one bit. Not one bit. Do you know the world still hates Jesus? Still hates him. It hates his spokesman. It hates his preachers. It hates any Christian that'll stand. Any Christian that'll stand. The world hates them. Now, the world does not hate religion because the world is full of religion. But the world hates anybody that stands for Jesus. See, there's a reason. See, we miss something so much. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, all the things that the people did that loved God with all their heart, and they all had a hard time. And you say, well, that don't make sense that they had a hard time. Well, because we're not promised a good time here. We're promised a good time there. But we all want the good time here. So we can't live for Christ here because it'll be a bad time if we do. So we try to be a, what would the word be? It wouldn't be modern necessarily. I reckon it could be, but it would just be a passive Christian, maybe might be the best word. We'll be one for now, and then we'll enjoy heaven. But when I look at Hebrews chapter 11, I see all those who live by faith, and, you know, Abel lived by faith, he died. Noah lived by faith, they scorned him for 120 years, going down Abraham, Joshua, Moses, all of them. Then it gives that list, and what shall we say then? About it, and it gives all those who were thrown in dungeons and burnt with fire, and they hid in caves, and they wore sheepskins, and all these things. These all died having not received the promise.
Right.
And then in chapter 12, it says, wherefore you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run. Let us do something. Let us do, as an example, what they did. Huh? But see, the world would hate us if we did that. See, that's how come people get mad if you mention transgender. Can I tell you, there's no such thing as transgender. It's called sin. You're born a man, you're born a woman. Anything else is an abomination to God. You need Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Just that simple. If you're a homosexual, can I tell you, that's sin. It's an abomination to God. You're lost. You need Jesus Christ. He'll save you from your sin if you'll turn to Christ. You need to repent of your sin. If you're a lesbian, can I tell you, that's not the way you was born. That's the sin you've chosen. Okay? You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, people say, well, that's hate speech. No, that's love speech. And Jesus will save you in your sin. He'll save you from that. And you won't be that no more because you're not naturally that. You're not naturally a dope head. You're not naturally a drunkard. Them are choices that you made, and He will save you out of that. You're not naturally a murderer. You're not naturally a thief. You're not naturally a blasphemer. But He will save you from all that, give you a new life in Christ that you never could even imagine. But the world don't want that. They don't like that. They don't like to hear that, but it's still yet true. And what it is, did Jesus not tell His disciples, they hate me, and they're going to hate you because they hate me. Can I tell you, there's not too many Christians hated anymore. Right. Charlie Kirk was murdered because of his stand for Christ. He loved the Lord. He stood for Christ. And they killed him. But they didn't kill what he stood for.
Right.
They thought they silenced the voice, but they did not.
Right.
Because the truth has always been spoken, and the truth always will be spoken.
Right. Right.
Are we understanding this morning? But the mob hates the Lord. You may be one of them today. You may be one that hates the Lord, that hates Christ, that hates God, just because you go to church don't mean that you love everything. I don't know, but can I tell you that's the way the world is? Let me tell you something. When the world, and we're not going to get in politics tonight anyway, or today anyway, you may hear it somewhere, when the world is more upset about somebody getting fired off a talk show than they are a man being murdered, then we're in an evil world. When we're more worried about Jimmy Kimmel getting fired off a talk show, an ungodly talk show anyhow, and we're not worried and concerned about the widow and two babies that ain't got a daddy no more because he stood for right, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got members of Congress that want to stand that way, we got an evil Congress.
Amen.
Yes. And that's just fact.
Alright.
Are we okay? See, that's the mob view. That's the mob's view. See, Barabbas' view, I wonder if we could assume, let's assume what Barabbas thought. I don't know who this Jesus is, but if they want Him and not me, that sounds good to me. Huh? I don't know what else he thought. I don't know if he bowed down and worshipped. I don't know this, but I bet he didn't say, no, I want to die. I bet he didn't say that. Huh? I bet he was tickled to death that somebody took his place. What about that? Huh? Listen, I don't understand all the ins and outs, but I sure am glad he took my place. Ain't you glad? Huh? See, the mob don't look like it. The mob hates it. See, the mob, like this, they're not interested in right. They're not interested in justice. They're interested in what they want. See, listen to me. Barabbas stood for their worldly freedom.
That's right. Right. Yes.
Barabbas stood for their worldly freedom, and they said, release unto us Barabbas. We want the freedom in the world to do as we want. If they had wanted Jesus freed, then He was only concerned about their spiritual bondage.
Right.
And they didn't want nothing to do with that. Can I tell you today, that's what we want today. People today really not concerned about their spiritual freedom. They're worried about their, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and ain't nobody telling me right or wrong. But can I tell you this morning, there is a right, there is a wrong, there is a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, I don't believe that. Then to hell you'll go. But it ain't going to change the truth. Not trying to be mean. Just trying to let you understand the truth. There is a right and a wrong. The Bible says there was going to come a day that when right was going to be said, it was wrong. And wrong was going to be said, it was right. And we're living in a day like that today. Huh? We are. Listen to me. The mob looked at Jesus and said, we don't want Him. Let His blood be on us and our children. They didn't even care about their children. We're living in a day right now that people's not worried about their children.
That's right.
Children are let go. Raise yourself. Huh? They are. We got the world that's trying to raise children. And the whole America goes so far, y'all don't want to stay here. I got a funeral, too, baptized and everything, so I can't preach till 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. I could. We just want to look at the way parents raise children. Without thought of the children's future. They're not even worried. Listen, they're not even worried about a child's education. If you let your child go get a degree where it means nothing to have the degree, to where you spend $250,000 on a college education and cannot get a job other than McDonald's, your education didn't do you any good. Everybody understand that? I mean, just how dumb is parents to do that and to put their children in debt for student loans of $250,000 for a degree that means for the arts. What is a degree in the arts? I've never understood what the degree is in the arts. Is that you go around looking at pictures? Or do you draw pictures, stick men? I mean, I don't know what it is. But I know this, I can go to McDonald's. And I bet you some of them people at McDonald's got that degree. I go up here to Sheets, and I bet there's some people back there making them pre-made sandwiches, you know, like Cracker Barrel, making them handmade biscuits. You ever notice that's what the sign don't say, homemade biscuits, it says handmade.
Yeah.
You understand that? They get it out of a bag, and they mix it up and put it in. It ain't homemade, they're handmade. Huh? You ought to pay attention to what you read. And everybody loves Cracker Barrel. He says, home cooked. No, it ain't. Come to my house. I'll show you what home cooked food is. Huh? I'm just telling you how they didn't worry about their children. They said, let the blood be on us and our children.
Yeah.
And we don't worry about the let the blood be on us and our children. Our children have choices of everything. You know, the society wants children to have their choice. So they want to choose if they're a boy or a girl. We're not going to name them yet. Let's wait till they get old enough to see what they want to be. All right. We're not going to name them Ralph or Sally. We're going to wait, and it'll be cousin it. Huh? Until they get so old. That's the society. It's not changed. Are you hearing me? I'm asking you this morning, where is Jesus in my life? Ask yourself that question. Where is Jesus in my life? Where is He this morning? Where is He? Let's look at another. Let's look here. Oh, let's see about verse 19. Can we look at verse 19? It said, when He had sat down on the judgment seat, His wife, speaking of Pilate, His wife sent unto Him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Pilate's wife. Don't hear a lot about Pilate's wife. I was trying to find out some information about her. And what I did find out is they don't know. That nobody knows anything. Some say that Pilate and her was exiled. They fired from her job after all this went on. Some say they went to France. There in the country of Gaul, which would be France. Some believe that he went to a mountain in Switzerland. Both cases, they said that he killed himself. I don't know whether he did or not. Some say that he just turned out to be a Christian and he was killed because he turned out. I don't know. That's all assumption. But the history, we don't know.
Right.
Everybody all right? Everything I could find. I mean, I looked for it. I couldn't find no information other than what I just told you. But can I tell you this? She said what she thought about Jesus. He said very plainly. It says there in the middle. Can we read it? Everybody look at verse 19 again. When he was set down, when Pilate sat down, now follow me now. Pilate goes, sits down on the judgment seat. His wife sends him a message and says, have thou nothing to do with that just man. Right there is what she thought of Jesus. I don't want nothing, don't have nothing to do with Jesus. Have nothing to do with him. And there's people today that don't want nothing to do with him. Their life shows it.
Yes.
have nothing to do with Jesus. For I've suffered many things because of Him. Huh? Can I tell you that it may be in the sanctuary, it may be on live stream, it may be on the web page later, but I guarantee you in one of the three places there'll be somebody that's listened that says, I don't want nothing to do with Him no more because I suffer because of Him.
Oh, yeah.
They blame their life on Jesus. They blame their bad decisions on Jesus. They blame their bad home on Jesus. They blame everything and say, no, I've suffered. Can I tell you that Christ don't make nobody suffer in this life?
That's right.
If you don't trust Him, you'll suffer. But now He offers you more than you could ever imagine. He offers you eternal life. He offers you forgiveness of sin. He offers you a brand new start. That's what He offers you today. That don't sound to me like suffering. Huh? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a pretty good promise. Huh? He'll supply all of our need. That sounds like a pretty good promise. Huh? He'll answer our prayer. That sounds like a pretty good promise. How He'll take me home to glory. That sounds like a wonderful promise to me.
Amen.
I don't find nobody suffering like that.
Right.
Huh? But Pilate's wife said, don't have nothing to do with Him. Can I tell you, in our lifestyle, we don't have nothing to do with Him. In our lifestyle, we don't have nothing to do with Him. We don't promote Him.
Right.
We don't... You know, I was asked about protesting back in the first of the year, about protesting some things, and I actually got in the flesh a little bit, because I'm not protesting. I'm going to preach, I ain't going to protest.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
But I don't see nobody wanting to wear no Jesus pin. I don't see nobody wanting to wear no Jesus pins anymore. Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
See, we got one day a week set aside for Jesus. That's what we think, and we won't even keep that. We got one book of all the books in the world. We got one. And we don't read it. Huh? Okay? We got a privilege to talk to God through Jesus Christ that no one can stop, no one can hinder. They can't put you under the jail deep enough to keep you from doing it. And yet we don't talk to Him. We see hundreds of people every day and never speak a word about Him. Never speak a word about Him. We talk to people. How many of you go to the store every week? Hold your hand up here if you go to the store every week. At a gas station, buy I don't care if it's a can of snuff, a pack of cigarettes, if you're buying a six-pack. Probably some of you do that too. It don't matter. You know what they always ask you? You know what everybody asks you? At McDonald's, Wendy's, a gas station, anywhere, you know, at Food Line, well, you know what they always ask you? Anything else? You've got an opportunity to say something about Jesus because they ask you, is there anything else? And that out of our mouth ought to come. Yeah, how about, do you know Jesus? Because they just ask you, is there anything else? They open the door.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that I want anything to do with Jesus right now. I'm in a hurry. I don't know if I want to have anything to do with Jesus right now. There's people watching.
Hello.
I don't know if I want anything to do with Jesus because they just heard me cuss out that fella over the next... in other lines. See, I'm just asking this morning. See, I don't know. I don't know because I don't follow you every day. I don't know because I don't listen to everything you say. I don't know because I don't watch everywhere you go all day every day. But so you answer the question, where is Jesus in my life? You tell me. Where is Jesus in my life? And then I look at Pilate. We didn't look at his wife. Let's go down. Around verse 23. And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done? You know, a lot of people say, "Well, Jesus is a good man.
Right.
He was a good man." Anybody here believe he was a good man? Huh? Anybody believe he was a bad man? So if you don't believe he was a bad man, what do you believe? You believe he was a good man? All right. That's what Pilate believed. Pilate believed he was a good man. You with me? Pilate believed he's a good man. Why, what evil have he done? But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." He just washed his hands with Jesus. Just washed his hands. His wife said, "Don't you have nothing to do with him?" He said, "Nah, he's a good man. Yeah, but we're just going to back out of the way. We're just going to back out of the way and let everybody do, because you can't change people." That's what he said. He said, "See you to it." You know what he said?
Yeah.
"See you to it. I can't change you. So y'all just go ahead and do what you want." So where you're at today, you just kind of back out of the way and let people do what they want because you can't change it. See you to it. Where is Jesus in your life this morning? Huh? How quick you're getting sleepy. You're getting tired on me here. Huh? I don't know how, but you are. These are just questions. These are questions that I see when Pilate said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" I see a lot going on there with Barabbas and Pilate's wife and Pilate and the crowd. Huh? There's four things I want to give you real quick this morning. This is really the message. See, salvation, to know Christ. See, how you know that Jesus is in your life? Somewhere the sinner is going to meet the Savior.
Yes.
The sinner has to meet the Savior somewhere. Now, when you meet the Savior, something has to take place. You either receive Him or you reject Him. That's the only two things that can happen. There's never a middle ground. You meet Jesus, you either got to accept Him immediately or you reject Him. When you reject Him, it could be forever. If you accept Him, it is forever. If you receive Christ, it is forever. And if you reject Him, it very well could be forever. Because you don't know that you'll meet Him again. Are you listening to me? So salvation, when that happens, when you meet Jesus and you receive Christ, then salvation becomes an expression. It becomes an expression. Something changes and there's an expression that takes place. And it's verbally. It's with the heart, it's on the inside and the outside. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says, think about this, as the Savior seeks out the sinner and the sinner meets the Savior, all right, everybody still with me? All right, it's an expression, it's experience. I'm sorry, it's just to start with experience. It's an experience, I meet Christ, Christ meets me, I receive Christ, and it becomes an experience.
Yes.
Let me ask you first, have you had your experience with Jesus? Talk to me. Have you had your experience with Jesus Christ? Now, if you've got to ask somebody, huh? Can I tell about you and Chip, Dave? You care if I tell? You shared it in there with us, so it's public knowledge. Years ago, in March the 19th in 1990, Dave Butler stood in the vestibule of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and Mike Long said, you need Jesus, Dave. And he said, "My mommy said I was okay." Yeah, my mommy said. And he got mad at Mike when Mike said, "Well, you need to hear think about what the Bible says, not what your mommy said." And Dave didn't like that. Well, just there not long ago, Dave was at a baptizing, standing beside his brother when his brother's wife got baptized. He said, "When are you gonna trust Christ, there, brother?" You're going to trust Christ. He said, if Wesley Pennington was my preacher when I was little, and if he didn't get it done, ain't nobody y'all going to get it done. He was more concerned about preacher Wesley Pennington. See, I think that's a lot of people's problems. They've looked to other people instead of Christ. They've looked to a preacher or a dad or a mom or an uncle or a good friend, but they've never received Christ. Can I tell you, it's an experience. When did you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior? Second, then it's an expression. It's an expression. It'll be inside, outside. Romans 10:9 says that if thou confess with thy mouth, an expression, believe in thine heart, that's an expression. Or everybody follow me? As thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. Yes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's an expression. All right? The experience, and then there has to be an expression. Something's going to have to take place. Something will come out. Huh? Are you understanding? And then it's an exercise. Salvation is an exercise. You know how I know it's an exercise? Because Philippians says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. That's what you do in exercise, man. Y'all won't believe this, but just several years ago, after I had the stroke, you know, I joined that fitness thing up there. I thought it was going to help me with therapy. But you know, a one-armed man and a one-legged man, you can't run on the treadmill and you can't lift weights. Yeah. They hooked me up that thing, and I'd throw that bad arm up there and try to work it. The Lord's what turned everything back on. Get on the treadmill, you can't couldn't pedal. Got on, they said, come over here and ride this bicycle. I said, I can't ride a bicycle. They said, well, you don't have to hold your balance. I said, I ain't got nothing to do about it. My leg don't lift up. Right? Think about that. I went and joined the gym. Is that the funniest thing you ever heard? Of course, I didn't join long. Right? But they was wanting me to do something. I went for and joined, and they wanted me to do something. They actually expected me to exercise. They actually expected me to be motivated. They give me a big long rope and want me to bounce it up and down off the floor. And they give me a great big ball. Want me to wrestle that great big ball. Huh? They done all that up there. I just had a stroke. Huh? It made no sense. But I done it anyway. Huh? See, the Lord saves you. He expects you to do something. Yeah. Exercise. Work it out. We okay with that? You know what he says to do? Follow. That means you got to do something. Follow. Anybody here following? Yeah.
Come on.
Anybody here following this morning? Huh? Then he said, fight the good fight. He said, follow me. Right? Is that what the Bible says? Follow me. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. Anybody here fighting? Huh? Then we've been teaching in Ephesians, Colossians, all that, the epistles we've been teaching. What did he say? Put on, put off. Them are all exercises, ain't they? Huh? Go. He says to go. Huh? I believe we as Christians, you know, our go's done when. Man. Tail. Them are all exercises. I'm asking you this morning where Jesus is in your life. Because salvation is an experience, it's an expression, it's an exercise. I'm glad it's an expectation.
Oh, yeah.
I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, sinner by choice and an alien by birth.
Yes.
How? But I've been adopted. My name is written down. I'm an heir to a mansion. A robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. I just wondered this morning. Sure, go to pen. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, Clara. We'll ask you this morning, where's Jesus in your life? Where is he at in your life? There was a time that he was first place, but he ain't now. There was a time he was your joy, but he ain't now. There was a time that you loved to come to church, but you don't now. There was a time you loved to do something for him, but you don't now. There was a time you loved to stand and praise his name, but you don't now. There was a time you loved to spend time with his word, but you don't now. There was a time that you loved to speak to him through the night and abide in him and enjoy him, but you don't have time now. Where is he at in your life? Where's he at in your life? There was a time you'd witnessed for him. There was a time you had a burden for souls. There was a time you back to preaching. There was a time. You know, it's a sad thing that there's more amens in this church by the women than they are the men. My amen corner ain't here this morning. Tristan Becky ain't here. If it wasn't for Brother Boyd, and every now and then one over on this side, they wouldn't be nothing, see it.
Right.
When Brother Boyd's gone and Tristan Becky's gone, it's a dead place.
Your talent's right.
Wow.
Well, I agree with you. Didn't they say so?
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks you feel like they do.
Right.
Maybe you need a new preacher.
No.
Huh? Maybe you need one that'll pat you on the back and rub your head and tell you how good you are.
No.
It ain't going to happen for this one. You'll have to get another one. Because this ain't going to do that. This ain't going to tell you to live in sin. This ain't going to tell you to live like hell and go to heaven. This ain't going to tell you that.
Right. Amen.
I'm just asking where Jesus is in your life. See, there was a time that you wouldn't think of laying out of church. There was a time you wouldn't think I'm not standing for God, but boy, it ain't like it now. Where's Jesus in your life? See, we all started out, if you're a Christian, we all started out as Barabbas. But we're turning into Pilate's wife and Pilate and the mob. I'm just asking this morning, do you know Christ? Do you really know Christ? There was a time people come to me and say, what can I do for the Lord? Well, do this. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then they say, well, I don't want to do that no more. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Well, wait a minute. If you don't know, that means you're going to quit.
Right.
Wait a minute. That makes no sense. You want to do for the Lord, so you're going to quit to find out what you want. You just keep on doing what you're doing, and when he moves, you move to something else. Why do you have to quit? Where do we find time out in the Bible?
Up there.
Wait a minute. I'm missing something. I tell you what we're missing. We're not wanting to recognize where Jesus Christ is in our life.
Amen.
It's not a time to back up. It's a time to go forward. Marcus is concerned about my health. I've been having some heart issues. I tell you what, BB called me the other day. BB's having heart issues too. And he said, you keep having these issues. You're going to die before me. And I wanted you to preach my funeral. And I said, well, he said, who's going to preach your funeral? I said, Marcus is going to preach mine. He said, you reckon he'll preach mine? I said, well, he can lie as good as I can. That's what I told him. But I told Marcus last night, he was on the phone. He said, Dad, I'm worried about it. I said, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm going to preach and go as hard as I can go till Jesus calls me home or he comes in the rapture. I'm not quitting. I'm not slowing down. I'm going to do all I can. I said, you just make sure that you stay faithful.
Amen.
No quitting. Bob was concerned. He said, I'm concerned about you, preacher. I said, listen, you and Boyd go to Burma. I said, if I die of a heart attack, I said, y'all better not come off the field to a funeral. You do, and God will shut your ministry down.
Amen.
He'll shut your ministry down. You come off the field for a man, shame on you to even think it. Huh? You listening to me?
I'm listening.
Well, I'm telling you. I'm asking you this morning, why does it not mean anything anymore? Does it not mean anything anymore? Your life shows, you tell me where Jesus is in your life. If I follow you, what will I see? What will I hear? Where will I go? How will I respond? How will I respond to others? I have trouble with others. If you have trouble with other people, it's because you don't love God. You can't do the second commandment till you do the first one. The first one says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might. And thy neighbor as thyself. You ain't going to be able to love your neighbor if you ain't loving the Lord. You're having trouble loving your neighbors because you don't love the Lord. That's just plain and simple. Plain and simple. But what are you going to do about it? You walk out of the church, good preaching, preacher, but you never repent. You never change. Oh, preacher, you're right. Well, am I right? Then why are you wrong?
Amen.
There you go.
How come there's no change? Where is Jesus in your life right now? Where is He? Where is He? For Christ, who is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. It's what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is our life. Is Christ your life? I'm just preaching this morning. Listen, I'm preaching, and people say, well, it don't affect me, that's fine. Don't affect you, that's fine. If it don't apply to you, that's fine. If you don't like it, that's fine. If you love it, that's fine. It matters not. I'm preaching. And I'm not trying to be smart or sarcastic or mean or anything. I'm just telling you, somewhere we're going to have to look at ourselves and see where Christ is in our life right now.
Amen.
Right now. Where is He at right now? You know where He's at right now. You know what He means to you right now. Right now. What are you going to do? Father, speak to our heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.